how short this message is going to be or how long. In all of my heart, I got to be perfectly honest with you. The Lord smote my heart on this verse in my private and daily reading this past week, and I just could not get away from it. And so I've asked the Lord to give me what He wanted, and I've done the best to honor Him, I believe. And so it may be a short one, maybe I don't think it'd be a long one, but I do believe it is a benefit to us today that we can apply in our life. Now, you know, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4, as my brother Preston has already read this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to reread those verses. We've already stood. I pray that you did at home in honor and reading of the Word of God, so I won't ask you to stand again. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and looking in verse 1 with me, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and looking at verse 1, the Bible tells us, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. And ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. I ask of you now to please, Father, illuminate our hearts and our souls and our mind, touch and tender our lives today. Dear God, I pray that you would make prevalent, Father, what we need to know and we need to do through the preaching and teaching of your scripture this morning. I ask of you, Lord, to work a mighty work amongst your people. Lord, I pray those that are partaking in the service today, those that are watching right here, right now, Lord, whatever their closest need is right this very moment, I pray that you'd meet it today. Lord, I pray that you bless your word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. We've been in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And I want to bring a thought to you today that I have titled, Goalkeepers. Goalkeepers. I believe in all of my heart today that we need to be goalkeepers in our life, that we need to be goalkeepers in our heart. And we find a pattern here in these nine verses of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. The first thing that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1 is we see the purpose is to do them in verse 1. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you." Now the next thing is for to do them. There's a reason why he was asking them to hearken unto the statutes and hearken unto the judgments. We can say hearken unto the Word of God. The reason God has given us a perfect, inspired, purified, preserved Word of God today is solely so that we can do them, so that we can grow in grace, so that the soul can be saved, so we can learn to not be ashamed of God, so that we can learn to learn more about the Word of God, so we can teach them unto others. We find in verse 2 that it says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." We find that clearly taught and clearly spoken of here, and we'll allude to that just a little later on in the message. We find in verse 4 that there was a group of people that clave. They cleaved unto the Lord their God, and therefore because of that they were alive. Every one of them were alive this very day. And The reason that we find that God has brought these words, the reason Deuteronomy chapter 4 opens up in the manner that it is, was a preparatory moment for the nation of Israel to go into the promised land that God himself had promised unto them with this purpose, for them to do the word of God, to do the statutes, to do the judgments, so those in the surrounding nations would say, for what great nation, or what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? You see, my friend, it wasn't just about the nation of Israel. It wasn't just about the individual person. It wasn't just about them. But my friend, it was about others. May I say this to you this morning, that there is a personal responsibility that we have toward ourselves and toward God, but eventually for the benefit of those that are around us. It is no different than the emergency rules on an airplane. To put your mask on first prior to assisting others. It's not being selfish. It's not thinking of yourself. It's not being mindful for your personal protection. But rather, it takes into account that if you pass out or if you die, you are no good to anyone else. Those that may be most vulnerable. Those who need help the most. You got to help yourself in order to help them. You've got to take personal responsibility for your actions, for your words, for your walk, so that you can help other people. So therefore, we find deep instruction here that God has given unto the nation of Israel as they are preparing to take this promised land. And that deep instruction is simply these words, take heed to thyself. In other words, watch yourself, man. Solomon put it like this in Proverbs in chapter 4. He said simply there, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Beloved, to keep your heart is to guard your heart. It is the only way to take heed to thyself and to take heed to thy soul. So my friend, we must become goalkeepers, if you will. We must become those that are protecting the goal. And you say, why a goalkeeper? What's the significance of a goalkeeper? For those of you who are football fans out there, and I mean European type football, soccer as we call it in the States. For those out there, you always know that the goalkeeper is always, he stands out amongst the crowd. He's a little bit different. He dresses different. He has a little bit of a different uniform on. He doesn't look just like everyone else, and he's there to protect and to guard the goal from the opposing team. My friend, I must tell you today that we must become goalkeepers. We must stand out in the crowd. We must be a little different than everybody that we're around. We are to protect that goal, my friend, that the enemy is trying to sneak in between the slots so that he may come in and attack us, so that the other team, so that your team and the other people may lose. Beloved, when you take heed to thyself, when you keep thy heart, the Bible tells us that we must do it with all diligence. So I want to speak first with you this morning on this point, the diligence to fortify. The diligence to fortify. Look there in verse 9 in the very first part. The Bible says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul, watch this next word, diligently. Diligently. Now the word diligence is defined as careful and persistent work or effort. I'll say that again. Careful and persistent work or effort. Beloved, when we take heed to ourselves, we are able to keep our soul, to keep our soul. But it requires diligence on our part. Keeping your heart and be having diligence to fortify your soul, to fortify your heart, to guard your life, to guard your mind, your heart, your soul, to guard your family, your church, your friends, your neighbor. Guys, it is not for the faint at heart. It isn't going to work for the weak at heart. It isn't for those who are desiring to float and go through the motions in life. It is for those who are willing to remain diligent in serving, correcting, guarding their heart, lest they become of no use to others. Again, guys, diligence is defined as careful and persistent work or effort. This isn't a haphazardly approach to life, but this is taking personal responsibility for who and what you are. And you today, if you're saved and born again, you are a child of the living God. And if you're a child of the living God, if you're a born again soul today, you are to take heed to yourself. You are to keep thy soul diligently so that you can be a blessing unto others. It's not just about ourselves. It's not just about glorifying God, but it's all three of these things combined to guard our heart and help ourselves to glorify our God in doing that, so that we can be a benefit to the others in this world today. It's not a haphazardly approach, like I said before. It is performed with diligence. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? It says that he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men." Proverbs 27 and verse 23 tells us, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." I was given some inadvertent business advice at one time in my life from an older man. He was an older man, a manager of a factory, and our business had boomed and boomed and boomed, and years gone past, and we hit a particular year where we had a bit of a plateau. We plateaued off just a little bit, and we were at church, and I was in common conversation, just saying, "Yeah, we're kind of hit a little bit of a lull right now. I understand that it'll bounce back, but we're plateauing off in our business right now, and what was going on?" And this older man sat down, and this is what he said. He said, "Brother BJ, let me talk to you a little bit." He said, "There was an old farmer one time, an old farmer who found that his crops were not yielding that which they had once yielded, that the workers just seemingly wasn't being able to get that which out of the crops that was expected to be there. And they were missing the deadlines. They were missing the quotas. They were missing the numbers. And he didn't quite understand why. And so this particular farmer went and spoke to an elder farmer, an elder man in the community, and that elder man gave him this advice. He says, "Son, what I want you to do is I want you to go out into every field. I want you to go out into every field, every crop that you have, and I want you to put box in that field." He goes, "Okay, I'll go do that." So he went out there to every one of his crops. Everyone has spent the entire day, Brother Preston, putting boxes out in the field. Just a box, man. That's all it was. And he came back to the older man the next day. He says, "Okay, sir, I put a box out there. Now I'm waiting for it to boom. What do I do next, or what happens?" He goes, "I want you to go check those boxes every single day." And the young man looked perplexed. The little farmer looked confused. He said, "Well, why should I go check them every day? I don't quite understand that." He says, "Son, just trust me. Go check your boxes." Matt. So that's what the young man did. He did that for a week. He did it for a month. He did it for 2 months. He did it for 3 months. And all of a sudden, it was time for harvest to roll around. And what do you know? They blew the quota out of the water, Brother Preston. I mean, they had the largest crop that they had had in about 2 years. The largest yielding, I should say, in about 2 years. And he went back and told that old man. He goes, "Man," and the man said, "Well, how was your yielding? How was your harvest?" He goes, "It was outstanding." He goes, "We beat everyone that we've had in the past couple of years." He goes, "Amazing." He goes, what was the magic of the boxes? I mean, I just put plain cardboard boxes. What was the magic of that? I don't know. He goes, "Wasn't any magic about it. You were just checking them." And what does that mean to us, guys? "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks," Solomon says, "and look well to thy herds." You see, the simple fact of him going out there and taking care of business, him going out there making himself present, made those workers work. He was looking after the flocks. He was looking after the herds. He was looking after his business. He was being diligent to be there rather than letting everybody else do something. And the result of that was a yielding that was above and beyond one that they had had before. Beloved, I'm here to tell you today, my friend, that you need to take diligence to fortify your heart, to keep thyself, to keep thy soul, to be careful and persistent at work and in effort in your life to move forward so that you can be a blessing to others. It's not just about us, guys. It's about those in the world today. Remaining diligent is the only way. Remaining diligent is the only way to guard thyself and to keep thy soul. So now I ask you this question. In your heart, in your mind today, I want you to think. I'm going to give you probably 20 seconds as I speak to think on this question that I'm going to ask, and I want you to spend some time thinking about it. Why is it so important to have diligence to fortify in guarding our heart? Why is it so vitally important to be diligent to fortify and keep in our soul and looking after ourselves? Think about that just for a second. I'll tell you why. My friend, there is a danger of forgetting. There's a danger of forgetting. Look in verse 9 yet again, and we see the verses, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen." My friend, one of the greatest dangers that Israel succumbed to, as well as the church today, is that of forgetting what God has done. For Israel, it was all the things they saw in the wilderness and in Egypt. We see that the danger of forgetting is it results in verses 16 and 19 of our chapter, saying, lest you corrupt yourself. This is what happens. The danger of forgetting is, lest you corrupt yourself and make you graven images, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters up beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest thou be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto the nations under the whole heaven. There is a danger of forgetting what God has done. And that is following the eyes and following the heart and following the mind when you don't keep yourself diligently. Beloved, for us, all the Lord has done for us, all the Lord is doing for us, all the Lord will do for us, we should not, we cannot, and we must not forget all that He is to us and all that He does for us. I want you to think about that. He saved your soul. If you're listening to me this morning, guys, you're understanding that, and you're saved and you're born again. You know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If that be the case today, He saved your soul. Not only did He save your soul, He spared your life. If you're still here today listening, He's given you a new life. And we should never forget those things. And those are just three off the top that I can list. Several weeks back, I preached on gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And I challenged each and every one of you to write three things down every single day, separate new things every day that you're grateful for. And it could be simple as the air you breathe, the water you drink, the eyesight you possess, the clothes on your back, the pillow, anything. Simple little things to exercise gratitude in your life. Beloved, the list could go on and on. The list is ultimately endless in our life today of what God has done for us and how we should not forget His goodness, His greatness, His mercy, and His love in our life. We should never forget that, because the danger of forgetting for what He has done will render a life of disgratitude, only, not only that, but a life of falsehoods and pagan worship. James said this in James chapter 1 and verse 25. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. Beloved, the danger of forgetting is that we become a forgetful hearer. We forget all that He's done, and we end up not being blessed in our deed. It develops the mentality of entitlement. The mentality of entitlement. We have a society today that believes they are entitled to literally everything. We have a group of young people today that are growing up who feel as if they don't need to work, they don't need to labor, and that the government should provide everything. Let me tell you something. The government is not here to provide you food and happiness. And that's not their job, amen. Right. It's your job to provide for yourself and to take personal responsibility for your actions and your ways and your work, amen. But being forgetful here, and some people won't like that, and you don't have to like it, but you got to live it. It is true. When we're forgetful here, we develop that mentality of entitlement, as if God owes us something. Forgetting is one of the most dangerous elements of our life. And I understand it's part of life. And I understand also that there are things that we should forget, just as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not disregarding that at all. But Proverbs 30 tells us in verses 8 and 9, another element of life, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full, watch this, and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. You say, what does that mean? How does that tie? That is the mentality of entitlement. That's the entitlement, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? When we forget who the Lord is, when we forget who and what God is, when we forget that God has provided us the light and the sun, and when we forget that He's created all these things for His glory, we tend to fall into the trap of entitlement. That's how pagan worship came into this world. That's how the worship of the moon, the stars, the sun, the birds and the bees and the sycamore trees, that's how that came about, was forgetting who God was forgetting for what He had done. Beloved, when we forget the Lord and all that He has done, entitlement sets in and results in denying the great things of who the Lord God is and what He is doing. It's a dangerous element. I would say the most dangerous element. of our life. What does it result in? So, beloved, we are to be diligent to fortify. Fortify our heart. Keep your heart. Keep your soul. Because there's a danger of forgetting. When we forget, forgetting leads to the departure from following. Notice there in verse 9 yet again, and the Bible continues on saying, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Can I ask you this question here this morning? How many people have you seen serving the Lord? Seemingly sold out for God, committed, dedicated, and involved, and then all of a sudden, gone. I mean, I'm ashamed to think that the list is, Brother Preston, it may be as equal as those who are still serving the Lord. I don't know. I have no factual statistics, but I know in my lifetime, I've seen the ups and the downs of people serving God. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. It's easy to do when you forget what He's done. I'm going to go and say this to you this morning. I believe in all of my heart that every single one of us are susceptible to that very thing. None of us are beyond any type of that aspect. None of us are too great or have apprehended or have arrived in any shape, form, or fashion that we are above falling away. But there are some precautionary steps that we can take. And first is do the diligence to fortify. Avoid the danger of forgetting, which results in the departure following. Beloved, I've seen people who seem like they have it all. Those who were dedicated, upholding, strong, tight on standards, at least they appeared as such. And all of a sudden they're gone. Them and their standards. My friend, you cannot legislate righteousness. Beloved, you cannot form a tick list, if you will, in your life to think that you're going to live up to the righteousness of God. We ought not raise our children to have a list to follow, but more along, have a Lord to follow. Simply because they forgot what the Lord did, and they departed from following Him. So why are we to take heed today? What is the ultimate reason that we are to be goalkeepers in our life? What is the ultimate purpose, beloved? If we are to guard our heart, we are to fortify, we are to be diligent to fortify, to avoid being a forgetful hearer. Why are we to do these things? To avoid departing from following Him. Why do we keep our souls? Again, we are to take care of ourselves. We are to glorify God. So we can be a blessing to others. Beloved, we are to do these things. We are to have diligence in fortifying so that we can distribute faithfully. So we can distribute faithfully. Look there in the last part of verse 9. It says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What are we teaching them? Verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Verse 1, for to do them that you may live. We are to teach those to our children, to their children, and their children's children. Beloved, Paul tells us to teach. He says, only let your conversation become the gospel of Christ. Conversation, my friend, is our conduct, our livelihood, how we live, how we walk, how we work, how we talk. The life that we live should be reflective to the glory and gospel of Jesus Christ. To distribute it faithfully to those around us. My friend, in all we do and all that we say, we are to teach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our integrity should glorify the Lord. Our ingenuity should proclaim His greatness. Our intensity should shine in this world as a light shineth into a dark place. Paul said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My friend, I challenge you today, I encourage you this morning to take heed to thyself, to keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy son's son and thy sons. Distribute faithfully. Avoid the danger of forgetting and the departure of following. To be diligent to fortify. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. For that which you have given us, for the blessedness of this life, the grace and the goodness of your heart upon us, Lord, the word of God that you have allowed us to have, the everlasting preserved word that has touched our heart today, and that in the instructions that you've given unto the nation of Israel, how you have given it unto us today. I understand how the application falls, Father, but I pray this morning that we can apply it into our life, that we be diligent hearers, Lord, that would fortify our heart to guard and to keep it, lest we forget, Father, lest we depart from following. Let us keep distributing faithfully. In Jesus' name we ask these things, Father. Amen and amen. I trust and pray God was good to you this morning, teaching, preaching of His Word.